Thankful to God to once again be able to be with you today as we look at this subject that's been assigned, holiness and recreation. This is a great theme, a great opportunity, this whole lectureship for us to contemplate and meditate upon God's Word and put some things into action in our lives. Let me just say this at the outset of something that I will not. I'm not going to try to necessarily identify and go to every form of information outlet and say this one is good, this one is bad, you should have this. I'm not going to do that necessarily. I hope that as we look at the Word of God, we will be able to find principles that will help us to discern and to properly apply across time that we have on this earth, so that as these things change, we will still be able to do the right thing. Because those of us who were raised in the 60s, there was no such thing as the kinds of technologies that we have. Many of us remember coming home on Sundays from worship services with our parents, and we were the remote control devices, and whatever the parents said, when they said turn on Bonanza, Bonanza came on. When Walt Disney, Wonderful World of Color, everyone watched Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. And when it was time for Wild Kingdom, everyone sat and you watched the Wild Kingdom. When Red Skelton came on, we all watched Red Skelton. And that was it, and no one complained. No one would ever thought some of the things that are going on today would be around. We want to begin by pointing out that as Christians, the church is obligated to live holy and morally in an immoral world. Jesus, in what is truly the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, he prayed to the Father that the church, that Christians not be taken out of the world, but that we learn how to live in the world and that we be kept from the evil one, John 17, verses 15 through 17. We need to understand that we have a God-given obligation to know how to live in this world, and that God has given us the power in Christ to be able to overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John has told us that we are not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but they are of the world, and the world is passing away with the lust thereof. Many have rightly observed that the world is moving farther and farther away from God's standards for morality. There was a time when we would, even though people were not members of the Lord's church, there are individuals who respected enough of God's word that things did not occur. You know, growing up even in Buffalo, New York, there were things called blue laws. And some of you who are old enough, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There were things that could not be done on Sunday. There were things that could not be sold on Sunday because of blue laws. And that has gone away, because people say, well, we can't have God, we can't have one religion directing our government. Shame on us for that. The Lord's church should not be surprised, however, by this. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4, whatever things are written aforetime, written for our learning. And we have been warned that a nation that forgets God has turned itself to destruction. I will probably, since how Brother Tuller has this out there, I'll make this statement, and the FBI might be waiting for me outside. America has, and I love this country, I would not want to be born anyplace else, but we have one foot on a banana peel and the other foot in hell, and we're moving fast. Unless the church wakes up, unless the church becomes interested in morality, and we start doing the things that we're talking about this week, individually living holy lives, preaching about holiness, teaching it, and living it and being a light in our communities, we can turn some things around. Whether or not everybody obeys the gospel or not, we could influence people. If you think back to what God was looking for And he asked Lot to find some people who were doing some right things. It might have made a difference. That's sort of a side note. God's instruction to the church is not to be deceived by the works of our adversary. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, he does not want us to be ignorant of the devices of our adversary. Some of the things that we will talk about today are not necessarily wrong. Having a BlackBerry device is not necessarily wrong. Having an iPhone is not necessarily wrong. Having a web page is not necessarily wrong. Having cable or satellite TV coming into your home, it is not necessarily wrong. I'm pretty sure there are some people who would, if they were to find out that that congregations have websites or actually have Wi-Fi coming into their buildings, there are some brethren who would immediately say, that's unscriptural. Well, there are a number of things that you can do to protect yourself so that the inappropriate things are not happening. And I guess as full disclosure goes, one of the things that I do and have done for a number of years, I've been involved in the area of information technology since about 1988, supporting myself as I preach, and currently I'm the associate director of information technology for a public school district, for the Dayton Public Schools. And so I'm painfully aware of some of these things on another side of the table, what we have to do to try to protect children in the public school system. The Christian's worldview must be entirely different than the world's. Everyone lives by a worldview. And simply what I mean by that is how one looks at the events of the world and draws conclusions. There is a worldview. Our worldview must be one that is based upon of thus saith the Lord. We must filter everything in the world through the lens of the inspired revelation of God. And so as we look at the events, as we look at media, as we look at all of these avenues of what we would call recreation, what does the Word of God say about it? Is it appropriate and under what circumstances? Is it something that I need to avoid based upon not what the world's standards are, but what God's Word has said about it? You know, we live in an age where you can receive information, and I will put that in quotation marks, information 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, nonstop. Who would have ever thought? Growing up, there was always a time that when Irv Weinstein and the 11 o'clock news went off, you would have one local PSA, and at midnight, this thing would come up on the screen. It would be this kind of a circle, and the TV would fry. Static until 7 o'clock in the morning. That's what I knew. You know, no, there was nothing on TV after late news. Well, I should say Johnny Carson. I didn't know what Johnny Carson was growing up, but that was on. That was late night TV. After that went off, TV was off. Except on Friday nights. And we'd all get together. My father would bring home shrimp after work, and we'd watch in Buffalo what was called the late night frights. And that was family entertainment, you know, the B-rated black and white movies of the 50s, you know, Bela Lugosi. And then the TV would go off. There was no one stayed up watching CNN, you know, 24-hour news and all that other stuff, but not today. You can get news to your cell phone. You can now get streaming video to your cell phones. I would dare ask how many, the children may not want you to know, parents. You know, if you're not looking at your bill carefully, you may want to double check to find out what features are my kids getting on the cell phones. Almost anything that can be put across the wire can be pushed down to the phone now. You don't need a desktop computer or a laptop. All you have to have is your PDA or your phone. And that's where we're going. Someone just told me the other day that we're at the point now where you won't even need an LCD projector. You'll be able to, in small groups, have your phone, and it will project the PowerPoint presentation to a small audience. And then there's this thing which is, in my mind, an oxymoron called social networking. Now, I am going to ask our young people, raise your hands. How many of you know what I mean when I say social networking? Oh, you're not a young man back there. But it's good that you raised your hand, Sam. Oh, come on now, to be honest. You know, come on, social networking. Now, here's the next one. How many of you are engaged in social networking? I didn't say anything was wrong with it necessarily. It's how you use Facebook, MySpace. That's what's called social networking. You know, for social networking meant that you'd go somewhere and you actually see somebody face to face and talk to them and feel them. Not in this internet generation. Social networking is where you put information about yourself on a web space and you allow people to come and post information. Let me just say this much about this, about that. If you're going to do that to our young people, and even some of the older people who have MySpace or Facebook accounts, they're not inherently wrong. There's nothing immoral about a Facebook account or about a MySpace account inherently. Unless you do not protect yourself and unless you do not set the guidelines about what it is you want posted there. If you don't want people putting immoral comments, you need to block your site. Some of our young people, members of the church, I've looked at some of their sites and some of the things that people have written, and you don't want people seeing this kind of language or posting comments that really are derogatory, are immoral, and they're just poking fun. I didn't tell them to put it there. Well, you need to block your site. You can block the site, and the only people that can go there are the ones you give access to. But most people don't want to do that. And then someone gets worried that someone has put up on their site this picture of someone in a compromising way. You know, there are some things we have to do. We have to be wise. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding, Solomon says. You know, let me make this observation to you, to all of us. Just because all this information is out there, it does not mean that we must take advantage of everything that's out there. Take the principle from Solomon in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Just because you go to a smorgasbord does not mean you have to eat everything that's there. Just because it's placed in front of you does not mean you have to take advantage of it. You are not out of touch with reality if you never have a Facebook account. You are not out of touch with reality if you never have a website. You are not behind the times if you are not engaged in these things. And don't let the world try to pressure you into thinking that you're not up to date. Solomon said, sometimes you need to learn to cut your throat. Daniel refused when he was captured and in Babylon to eat the things that the king set before him. He said, because God has provided what I need. And I will take what God has provided so that I can be the person that God wants, and I'm going to be okay. And I think that's an important principle that we need to follow. Just because it's there does not mean that we have to jump on it. Think about what was said yesterday in one of our lessons and what Brother Tim said just a moment ago. Just because the government legalizes something does not mean that it's authorized by God. Abortion is legalized. It's not authorized by God. A recent politician that's running for president made a statement to show how silly he is and how much he does not understand God's standards of morality. He claims to be a believer in God, but he does not practice it. He made a statement talking about he has two daughters, and if something happened to them and they were raped, and they became impregnated, that he would want them to get an abortion. Well, and he thinks that's the high road. That's murder. God does not authorize that. There are those who think, well, alcohol, as Tim said, is legalized. We can use it. Wrong. It's never authorized by God, as Brother Tim said. And one last piece of information, which deals with the media. The book that Brother Ayers mentioned by Dr. Patton, if you cannot find it at a bookstore, it is available in what's called a PDF format online. If you go to Google and Google Bible Wines and Patton, you can download the file. They've scanned the book in, and you can have it in a electronic format to carry around with you on your USB stick and have it available to you at all times. Without, if you can't find the hard copy, you can find that book in an electronic format for nothing. Key principles that we need to help ourselves to remember. Brother Johnny Ramsey years ago made this observation, which I want to share with you. Brother Ramsey said, we must go back to the Bible teaching regarding moral purity and holiness. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 5, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, godly, and righteously in this present life, looking forward to the blessed appearing and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14, pursue peace and holiness, without which no one will be able to see the Father. Johnny went on to make this observation. In an age of nudity, filth, and sensuality, all of us must return to the modesty, integrity, and spirituality of New Testament Christianity. Philippians 4, verse 8, and Psalm 101, verse 3. Close quotes. Morality is not defined by man. Despite what you're told by anyone, morality and ethics derive from God. God is the creator and the sustainer of human beings, and morality comes from God, and it is determined by Him through His Word. And thus, morality is the ability to discern the difference between right and wrong based upon divine truth. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. Morality is not left up to man. It's not in man who walks and directs his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. We must turn to God's word to ascertain these principles that are necessary for us in dealing with the media. And so we want to strive and make sure that we're doing the right thing. You know, had God not provided man with divine instruction on how to live right, he would still be in darkness. This is the argument that David makes in Psalm 18, verse 28, and Psalm 36, verse 9. He is thankful to God that God provided the light. As David said in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my pathway. It's a light to the pathway, a lamp to my feet. God's word provides the direction so that we can see how we are to go in life. Christians must hold forth the standard of righteousness, Philippians chapter 2. We must hold forth the standard of righteousness to a world that is in darkness. Therefore, every child of God must learn to be discerning in an immoral world. In Proverbs 2 and verse 3, listen to this principle. Here is Solomon in these first nine chapters laying down this groundwork to his son. And he says to his son, starting with verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. God wants us to become a discerning people. And in so doing, we want to behave like David, who said in Psalm 101, verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way or in a complete way. We need to learn how to behave ourselves wisely with respect to the media. And so let's look at several things and keep this in mind. What we see and what we hear has an influence on our lives. You know, the next verse after Psalm 101, verse 2, is verse 3, which David says, I will set nothing evil or perverted or wicked before my eyes. What a challenge for us. What a challenge. I believe it was Brother Matt who made the observation in the first lesson this morning, where he said, you know, we'll have these lessons as he was preaching on sexuality. We said we'll preach hard on it, and then after that we'll go home and we'll turn the TV set on to view that which we've just preached and studied against. Shame on us if we behave that way. In the area of recreation and entertainment, we must not allow the world to determine what is appropriate. We cannot sit by and let the world tell us what is appropriate for us to view. You know, you ever go visiting someone's home and you look around at the coffee table, the end tables, or on their bookshelves to see what it is that they are reading? It says a lot about folks. Some people don't want you to visit in their homes because what they have on their coffee table tells a lot about who they are. You don't see Christian Courier. You don't see the Southwesterner. You don't see Gospel Journal. But what you might see, Sport Illustrated, Swimsuit Edition, Ebony, Jet, The New Republic, this or that. And all of those magazines will tell you something about what the person is thinking, what it is they believe. You know, I told the congregation, I love sports, but I refuse to take a subscription to Sports Illustrated for a reason of what I just mentioned. I don't want the Swimsuit Edition coming to my house. The people in my neighborhood know that I'm a gospel preacher, and I don't want that mailman bringing out, sticking in my box, and the way the mail sits in my house, it doesn't always go all the way down to the shoe, so it stuff sticks out, and everybody can see what's there, that, man, that preacher's getting the Swimsuit Edition. Inappropriate. I don't need that kind. And what do you need that for, to look at basketball and football and golf for? I can at least say golf has remained true to form. My golf magazine hasn't gone that way yet. It may not be long. The way that, you know, with what they're paying the golfers, they may try to have to figure out some way to come up with the money. First thing we need to do is in determining, how do I use the media? How do I determine if this is right for my children, if this is right for me? Well, we must determine to know God's word first. You've heard this before. So, obviously, it's true. We must know God's word. Ezra, when he came back into the land to deal with those after the Babylonian captivity, in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says that Ezra sought to know God's word. Before Ezra went in to deal with some very difficult situations among God's people, he made sure that he knew the word of God. And if we are going to render the proper conclusions, it must be because we understand God's word. We build upon what we said yesterday. Spiritual immaturity is a lack of proper study, a lack of meditation, and a lack of proper application of the word of God. That's what happened to the Jews. It was a lack of knowledge that destroyed God's people, is what the prophet Hosea said. And so we need to make sure that we know God's word so that we can properly determine which forms and how to properly utilize all of these forms of media that are out there. Second, I need to seek to glorify God. We made this point yesterday. We're going to reemphasize it again. Ask yourself this question. Does God receive the glory as I engage in reading or subscribing to this series of magazines? Is it a proper use of the stewardship resources that I have? Whatever the avenue is, whatever the medium is. You know, if you just sit and utilize one's time with just sitting in front of the television set. You know, sometimes people call the television set the idiot box. It is not necessarily the idiot box. It has done some great work. We have brethren who are doing some fantastic things through television, through the internet. Sometimes we make these sweeping generalizations without thinking. Can you imagine where World Video Bible School would be if we just simply said it's no good? Where would the Tullers be if that medium was just bad? But it's not, the medium is not just, it's not inherently bad. It's what goes through it, and it's what I use it for. And so the more I know about God's word, I can make proper application. Third, examine the activity and the subject or material in light of God's word. When I was in the classroom, I had at the building level, I had a real serious discussion with some teachers once about this very issue. And I pointed out, I said, there are some things that I had a language arts teacher, and I got into a very heated discussion about some material they wanted my children to read. And I said, no, they're not reading that material. I said, give me the syllabus and let me understand what it is you want them to learn. And I guarantee you I can find appropriate text material that can teach what you want to have taught. I said, there's no need to have to read material that's full of expletives, that's derogatory, to look at literary devices. I said, we can find all kinds of material. I said, if you really want to study literary devices, there's a book that will give us all of the literary tools that you want to find. Well, what is that, Dr. Nelson? I said, well, here it is right here. Well, you know, we can't teach the Bible. I said, why not? I said, when I was in high school and I went to a public high school, we had a class called The Bible is Literature. I said, I still have the textbook. Well, I'll think about it. Suffice it to say, they didn't read the material. And my girl would say, Daddy, this teacher gave me this book and I can't read that. It has curse words in it. Thank you. Take it back. No, they're not reading that. Examine it in the light of God's word. When people say, look, well, we're going to look at a movie and it has educational value, and the movie portrays people in immoral acts, there's no educational value. There's no redeeming value. I'm not going to subject myself to that immorality. And you know, once you put it in, once you set it and it gets ingrained on your mind, you know, you never get rid of it. It's still there. How does this promote righteousness? Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness is an exalted nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we need to be willing to take a stand. You know, just recently there was, Hollywood has done a great job of putting this movie out, saying, oh, it's a family movie, it's a G movie, everybody can go to it. But if you had read the book first, you would have known it was an anti-God movie. Because it was an anti-God book called The Golden Compass. And the whole thrust of it is that it says that the God of the Bible is a liar. And the emphasis is that God needs to be destroyed because he cannot be trusted. And that's the thrust of the movie. The movie is even more overt than the book. Oh, but it's G. It's family oriented. Just because Hollywood says it's family oriented doesn't mean that it is. I went to a so-called PG-13 movie once and had to get up and walk out because of all the double entendres. And if you don't know what a double entendre is, I'm trying to say, do I want to say this or not, Tim? Well, there's an old song that some of you might remember from the 50s called The 60-Minute Man. Some of you older people might remember that song. And some of you who listen to Golden Oldies today, The 60-Minute Man, it's a double entendre. They couldn't say what they wanted to say in the 50s, so the writer came up with a cute way to say it. But if you listen carefully to the lyrics, it's like, I don't want to listen to that anymore, when you understand what is being said. There are a number of artists. I was listening to NPR, National Public Radio, just recently, and they were talking about the things that they had to do to get by the censors of the 50s and 60s and the way they worded things. Because now they can just come out and say it. My son, I like listening to reggae, but there are some things I just don't listen to. And my son has picked up listening to reggae. He came to me the other day. He said, "Daddy, I can't listen to this song anymore. I really like the beat. It's a song by Peter McIntosh. But the song is called Legalize It." And he finally got what Peter Tosh was talking about. His whole song, Legalize It, was legalizing marijuana. Oh, it's a wonderful beat. But the words are immoral. There are a lot of songs that are, so, you know, it's one of the problems with not only rap. I like country and western some, but there are just some that's just downright crude. I'm a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan. But if he made a record that's inappropriate, I have no business listening to it. I love Willie Nelson songs. But there's some songs that Willie wrote that were exposing his radical views on alcohol and a few other things. Can't hear them. Because I have to look at it in light of God's word. I have to apply the metallurgical tests. Prove all things. Hold fast to what is good. Fourth, and it's what we're talking about this week in this lectureship. Be holy. Peter says, gird up the loins of our mind. How can we be holy while at the same time embracing the world? How can we remain pure while at the same time engaging in whatever the form of the electronic world is or the print world? Choosing how we treat the media and what we read or look at, we have to apply that principle. And let me make this observation. I don't believe that we should try to cloister ourselves and say that the news does not exist. We need to understand what's going on in the world. But how do you filter the information? Through the Word of God. I don't think once you say, I'm never going to take my local newspaper. Well, it may not have all the things that we want, but we look at, filter it through the right way. There's been a lot of great evangelism done. We have some folks back in Dayton. There's a fellow who writes a great column every Saturday. I mean, their congregation pays for a huge spread, and he writes a great column, and he's preaching the truth, and he's hard every Saturday. Now, there's some other things in the Dayton Daily News I think are just stupid. Their political stance and all these other things, they're just wrong. Five, we must learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates. God hates immorality. God hates it, and we need to hate it ourselves. And stop trying to be tolerant and think that that makes us so much better. And learn to take a stand on those things that are inappropriate. And sometimes it means telling our children, even telling our family members, that is not appropriate. We cannot engage in that kind of behavior. My son did something. Don knows about this. He did something. He got himself in trouble. Because he got caught up. Typical boy, I guess, got caught up. He's out on a college campus taking a college summer course while he's in high school. And a group of the boys with their entertainment and some girls. Someone brought a little miniature camera. And he's a techno whiz. He knows how to do all this stuff. So they go around campus videotaping and making comments about people that are inappropriate. And then they put it up on somebody's Facebook site. And I get this call. I'm at work, and I get this call from the university. Oh, you got to come out. We got this problem, and we're trying to block this site. And So I get out there and I'm thinking, I told God, I'm thinking the worst. I'm thinking, oh no, what has he done? Now, it wasn't as bad as I thought, but it was bad. What I really thought was it wasn't. But it was stupid. It was childish. And the most thing I told him, I said, you know, you're the Christian in this group. You shouldn't have done that. He wasn't thinking. The technology didn't do it. It wasn't the video camera. It wasn't the social networking. It wasn't the internet. It was a group of human beings who didn't think and who behaved inappropriately. Six, we need to learn to use our time wisely. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. If all you do is sit at home and watch TV, well, that's a problem. If you have so much time that you can spend 4 and 5 hours a day just surfing the net, you got too much time on your hands. If you're willing to sacrifice sleep so that you can just spend time on the web, don't blame the web. Who's in control? You should be. But we become hooked. And it has now taken control. We need to learn to use time and allow God to be in control of our lives, not allow it to be in control of our lives. You know, some people don't get hooked on the electronic. There are some people who they will buy every newspaper there is in the world. They'll just spend their time reading print media. The LA Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Atlanta Constitutional Journal, the Dallas. And how much time does it take just to read all these newspapers? Well, I got to keep up with what's going on in the world. I don't trust what's on TV, but I do trust what's in the print. And so they'll spend 5 hours a day reading newspapers. But they won't spend any time with what will help them go to heaven. Avoid immoral company. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Matt covered that earlier. Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. My son found that out the hard way. Learned an important lesson. Couldn't sit down for a while, but learned another important lesson. Finally, learn to live and determine to live above the world. We must strive to live above the world. I say to all our young people who are here, let me give this to you as we get ready to conclude as a practical point. You know, if you have a Facebook account right now, you have a MySpace account, there are companies who frown upon that, and they are out there. They have created, and they've created their own accounts, and they're searching to see what your account says. I took a group of students 2 years ago to Wright State University talking to the admissions officer. The admissions officer warned students. She said, we're looking at MySpace and these accounts, and when we're reviewing your admissions exams or applications, if we find things that we believe are inappropriate, we don't want you at our university. Now, we're not. She said, we're going to tell you right now, because what you put out there says a lot about who you are, and we are going to take that into account as we look at the application. So you think all that stuff is cool out there, you know, I'm this person and all these weird things. But a child of God should never want to do that. I would think Freed Hardeman might be doing the same thing, and they should be. I wouldn't want someone coming to Freed that's behaving that way. And who knows, maybe schools of preaching should do the same thing, because if brethren are out there behaving immorally on the web, thinking, oh, no one's ever going to know it's me. People who believe the Bible and accept its absolute code of morality must act now to call men back to God. This is no time for soft peddling or compromise. We must not abandon the authority of God's word, but must respect it in our own lives and urge it upon others. We must first keep ourselves morally pure in thought, speech, and daily behavior. We must let our voices be heard for righteousness. We must be willing to let our convictions show without apologizing for them. The choice between life and death is ours to make. You know, each one of us can obey God's laws and live, or we can abandon them and die. It's a shame that the person who made that statement didn't live by it. And I'll tell you who wrote that. In 1972, in a great book called Young People Make Moral Decisions, Brother Reubel Shelley. He's right on that point. Too bad he didn't keep living by it. But may we live by God's truth and make the right decisions, pursue holiness as we take advantage of and utilize the media in our lives. Thank you.